being here for our opening talk with Ryan Ferguson. We're going to dive into the power of building that online digital footprint. Ryan Ferguson is director of bootcamp at Praxis. He's helped hundreds of young professionals launch their careers without college. On the side, he's also documented his travel adventures as a co-host of the World Wanderers podcast since 2014. Ryan, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Joel. I'm excited to be here.
My pleasure. So you've been sort of in this ecosystem of being your own credential in the Praxis world. Of course, Career Hackers grew out of Praxis. And so this whole mindset of portfolio building, pitching, proving your value without relying on credentials, third-party credentials, that's been you've been immersed in that for many years now. So just give us like overall a little bit of what you'd say that means to be your own credential and how that's applied in your life and your experience working with people.
Yeah. So I guess for my backstory, I actually started on a very conventional path. So I finished high school and in my mind, it was like, go to university. Like, this is just exactly what happens next. And kind of went through the process of kind of continuing down that normal conveyor belt until I realized like, this is a mess. I don't want to be on here. I've actually got to take some responsibility for making things happen in my own life. But I was definitely in that mindset of, hey, you look at a job description and it says you need X years of experience. Oh, can't do it. Or like you must have X type of degree. Oh, can't do it. And it was actually when I first, you know, discovered Isaac and TK's work and Praxis back in 2014 that kind of started to open my eyes to the many different ways that you can go about convincing other people and signaling your ability to create value. So at Praxis, we talk about this idea of there's kind of an equation to have opportunities. The first part is your ability to create value, but the second part, the part almost no one ever thinks about or discusses, is your ability to convince others of your ability to create value. And so the university degree is a very weak version of that. And now we've got so many cool, interesting ways, whether it's, you know, creating a YouTube video, a podcast, just documenting the things you're doing. So many cool, interesting ways to prove to other people your ability to create value. And for that, that's to me is really what creating your own credential is about. Just having that mindset of, if I want to learn something new, I can do it. Don't need to ask for permission from anyone. But then I can also go about doing that learning and creating in a way that allows other people to see the things I'm doing and leads to more opportunities for me.
Yeah. So tell us about how that's played out for your own career. And obviously you've created your own podcast. What are some examples of your own portfolio and how you've proven your own value through that online footprint?
Yeah. I mean, I think the podcast is definitely the clearest example for me. So I have absolutely no training in anything related to podcasting, audio engineering, production. Just back in the day, was excited about having conversations about travel and adventure. And so started a podcast, was able to interview lots of interesting people. And at that time, podcasting was kind of gaining traction. And so people I knew in my personal life were like, hey, I'm interested in starting a podcast. How do I do it? And so I became kind of a go-to resource for sharing like, oh, you should try this microphone. And then eventually that led to people asking me, hey, could you help me do the audio editing and the production for my show? And kind of led to a whole side career, which eventually became my main career for a number of years before coming back to Praxis last year. But yeah, I think that was a really good example for me of just finding something I'm interested in, doing it in public, and then all these other opportunities that you could never really expect. Like, you wouldn't necessarily plan for it. Like when we started podcasting, we did it because we were excited about the conversations we were having. We were like, this could be a cool, interesting way to get in contact with some people that we might not otherwise be able to get in contact with. But for the course of 5 years, that led to like a significant side income and eventually like a full business for me, purely from making that decision and going from there.
Yeah, I love those ripple effects where, like you said, you just found it cool and interesting to go start a podcast and you weren't thinking about your 5-year vision for exactly how everything was going to play out perfectly because of this decision. You were just following your curiosity and starting the creative process because it was interesting. And then that created this seed that kept it growing and the garden grew from there, you know?
Yeah, I think that's really important too with just this idea of like, hey, I'm kind of breaking off the conventional path and getting out of this mindset of like credentialism of I need to go do this thing to be able to get this credential. This person gives me permission to do this thing. And just building your career in general, there's so much serendipity and opportunities that open up that you can never really know about. And so we get into this mindset of like, I've got to plan everything out. Like, I'm going to do this and then this is going to happen and then this is going to happen. And if you don't have that full plan that you can't even get started. The most important thing, and especially when it comes to, you know, starting to build your digital footprint online, it can be easy to get in that mindset of like, okay, I've got to have the master plan and the vision. Like, you just need to find something you like doing and is easy for you and is kind of exciting. Start doing it. And then you're never really going to know what's going to come up from that one decision to get started.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's valuable to think big picture and what are your grand visions and aspirations. End of the day, though, well, all you can do is what's in front of you. So I think I like to think of it as, you know, like sort of 80-20, like 80% focus on what's in front of me right now and just keep creating every day and build momentum. And then maybe have a 20% of my mindset is maybe thinking about the bigger picture, but I'm also not attached to it. I'm just investing in the moment. And then seeing how that plays out as you continue to build that snowball and that momentum. So I'm curious about, I mean, we've mentioned a couple of times already in the event, but the 30-day block challenge. I'm just going to keep on talking about it and invite you to talk about it as well, because it's changed so many people's lives. It creates so much of that ripple effect, that portfolio, that sense of creativity as a habit. So what's your experience with the blogging challenge in your own life, as well as helping young people start their own process and building their own portfolio, and how that's helped people transform?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And it's fun to think about. So I originally went through Praxis as a participant in 2015. And so before that, I had created my own website and I'd written like 3 blog posts over the course of like maybe 2 years. And then when you get into Praxis, one of the big things you're doing is creating a lot of content. You're writing, creating that digital footprint for yourself. And there's that, one of the things you were doing was a 30-day blog challenge where it was like, you can write about many different things. The main part is just getting started and writing. And yeah, really transformative experience if you've never done anything like that before. Because there's so many things that get into our heads when we start to think about like being someone who's creating things and putting your thoughts out there. You start to think and to have like incredibly unique and insightful thoughts that no one has ever heard before. And you spend hours and hours trying to think of ideas. But once you've committed to doing it for 30 days, you get to the point where you like write some blog posts that you genuinely are like, I don't know about this one, but I've committed to it. I'm doing it. And then as time goes on, you just get better and better and better. So that your work kind of becomes harder to recognize at the end of it. One thing I think is cool from my side and getting to see people going through doing this, starting off for themselves, is a lot of people, again, get caught in that trap of like, hey, I'm going to be writing content. Like, what do I write about? I'm not an expert. Who am I to start creating things? Going through and actually doing stuff really leads you to appreciate the unique perspective you have on things. And it's really helpful in terms of revealing what you care about. So a lot of people get into this mindset of, okay, I need to find my niche before I even get started. And what are the things I care about? A much better way of doing that is just like, if you challenge yourself to blog for 30 days, at the end of the 30 days, look back on the things you've written over the course of that month. And you're going to see a clear pattern of like, what is the things that are on your mind, the things that you care about? And so, yeah, I did a 30-day blog challenge when I went through Praxis, and then a couple times I've done longer ones. So I did a year at one point, and then like 100 days recently. And I think it's really reformed the way I think about making stuff happen, and getting out of this mindset of like, you know, an inspiration mindset of like, I've got to be inspired and have this unique vision and insight. And then once that happens, I create, and going to the mode of, you know, just being someone who creates things every single day, because that's going to be way more impactful over the long term.
Yeah, what you do every day matters more than what you do once in a while. So how do you become that type of person? And that, yeah, it really can transform your identity. That's amazing. You did the full year as well. I almost did that. I did 300 a couple of years ago.
Yeah. It's funny too, because you get to the point where, like, I don't even know if this is a good thing, but you get to the point sometimes where it's like 11 p.m. and you're just writing a blog post and you get to the end and you're like, this isn't very good. I'm just hitting publish anyways. And it almost feels good in a way to have gotten to that point of like, hey, I'm comfortable putting out thoughts that I feel like, hey, there's something here. It's so far from perfect, but I'm just going for it. I'm making it public. I'm going to see what happens.
Yeah, that's really, I mean, there's so much value you get from the blog challenge, but that's one of the biggest ones is just the pressing the publish button is perhaps the harder part, harder than actually writing the post, because that's when you're saying, hey, look, world, this is what I have to say. And there's that potential vulnerability of the creative process and expressing your individuality. And that's really when you become a creator, when you overcome, you know, that lizard brain, as Seth Godin would say, and actually press that publish button. And also, yeah, you're going to, there's so many ripple effects. You're going to develop that muscle of publishing.
You're going to develop the actual writing skills, becoming more consistent in your creativity, and then building that body of work and how you can showcase so much. You can showcase your interests. You can showcase your writing skills, your communication skills. You can showcase all those soft skills, creativity and consistency. And also, yeah, I mean, like, show the world what your particular interests are, your particular domain is. So if you're, you know, Isaac used to say, if you're like most, if your number one thing is learning about financial intelligence, but if you're mastery, you've read all these books about financial literacy, and you know all this stuff about investing, and then if we were to Google you, would we find out that that's the case, right? So how can you match up? How can you start building that brand in a way that's actually intentional and in congruence with the value you can actually create?
Yeah. I think it's a couple of thoughts, and I'll touch on that one specifically of like, how do you start to match it with the things that you're excited about? But so in the work we do often, we're encouraging people to start creating content, you're blogging, you're creating projects as well. And then we're sending that to our business partners and our hiring partners through Praxis. And so many times, just the person who's making that hiring decision takes an interest in someone just because of interesting content on their blog. When you're looking to hire someone, you care about the skills someone has and like how that relates to their ability to do the job. But you also care about like the trust level that you'd have with someone and their ability to learn. And so good kind of early career blogging and documentation, if you're just talking about the things you're learning, talking more about the things you're interested in and who you are, that really just helps other people see you as the solution to a problem that they might have and have a level of trust and comfort with you that obviously isn't the same as knowing you in real life, but it's so much more than like, hey, I've just read a resume from someone. If I can actually go read your blog for a consistent period of time, that tells me so much about who you are. And then on the point, again, I think there's a lot of value in just doing it regardless of the subject matter you're talking about. But especially if you're someone who knows, hey, I want to get into, you know, fintech, or I want to get into like education space, you know what type of space you want to get into. That's where I think you can really, like, I'll use the word supercharge the digital footprint you're creating. Because if you can create a project that's targeted to that, like, hey, you're writing blog posts that are maybe case studies about people who have started their careers in fintech, or you're starting a podcast, or you're interviewing people who work in the education space, you know, build a great network, you start building authority. You do all those other things that you do by just being someone who's consistently creating in public. And so, yeah, I think it's like incredible watching people do this consistently and how many people don't do it because of the amount of value that it does have.
Yeah. So there's sort of those two main lanes people can get started in, where maybe it's specific to a career path you want to break into, like you mentioned, or it could be just something that's just for fun. You know, you're interested in baseball cards, then start blogging about baseball cards. You know, you're interested in Japanese architecture, start blogging about Japanese architecture. And that's, again, we're getting to that fundamental, ladies and gentlemen, of curiosity. Like, that is the superpower. That's below everything. It's below a life that makes you come alive. It's the seedling for creating that portfolio. Because if you're doing it out of some, oh, I must write in order to become professional, on it's this sort of extrinsically motivated thing, then it's not going to be sustainable for you. It's not going to be something that you maintain. So listening to what is it that I actually like, or what did I like when I was a kid, right? What did I choose to do that school didn't assign me? And maybe it's a matter of getting in touch with that natural curiosity that you were born with. And then just following that. So, you know, you could be talking about recipes that you're working on, traveling, anything, and that's going to start getting the ball moving. So are there any examples that come to mind of like practice participants that you've worked with that are just started writing about anything, or anything that was just a sort of a hobby?
Yeah. One example that always jumps to mind for me is we have an alum who still actually works for the company that she started working for when she went through Praxis. But as part of the curriculum, she started building an Excel YouTube channel. So she was just going through and like, oh, here's like different formulas you can use, and created, I don't know, like 15, 20 videos on Excel. And when it got to the hiring process, when we would send that out to hiring partners, they'd look at it, and even if they didn't have a need for her to do anything with Excel, just the idea of like someone is passionate enough about Excel to be creating YouTube content about it, and she's doing in like a very, like, she's a great communicator and clearly has this expertise, just tells you everything you need to know about her. And so that was one of the key reasons she got hired, and yeah, had kind of all sorts of opportunities and offers because of that one project. I'm trying to think of another good example that comes to mind. We have people going through the program are always creating projects. And I think more so than like actual the content of the individual projects, we've had people creating Shopify stores and like, hey, I'm going to brand some merchandise and use this as a vehicle to like run Instagram ads and Facebook ads and go through Google Ad Academy. And like, I can show all these different marketing skills I have based off my Shopify store. And we've had a number of examples of people who do this and have like very not good results in terms of the actual entrepreneurial project. Like, oh, I sold one thing to my sister type results, but they do it in such a way, like the documentation's really good. They're showing off like, hey, here's what I did on Instagram. Like, I started running these type of ads. They didn't work, and started running these ads. And again, creates that situation where people, even if they don't want you to directly do that type of stuff, you're just showing your ability to learn in a way that makes people really excited about working with you. Because I think, again, especially earlier on in your career, people want to know you have like a personality, you're, you know, an easy person to talk to and get to know, which you can do a ton of through so many different forms of creating online, but also that you're someone who can learn. And so being someone who's multidimensional, like you said, like, hey, you've got an interest in Japanese architecture and you've blogged about it, that's almost always going to come up on a job interview. They're going to research and be like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, like, I went to Japan like 5 years ago. I loved it there. It was so cool. Those types of things, even if they're not directly related to your job, really do help a lot.
Yeah, it helps to color who you are as a human being. And at the end of the day, that's, people want to work with people, not just automatons. So how can you demonstrate that you have a story, that you have a dynamic personality, and that helps create that genuine connection, that helps you build rapport with people on interview and then things like that. So there's all these intangible effects. So yeah, so shifting gears slightly, what we started to move into is this learning out loud process. So there's building a portfolio at large, right? So it could be blogging, podcasting, building that Shopify store, and just creating that trail where, again, 2022, it's very likely, if not close to certain, that people are going to look you up on Google if they're thinking about hiring you. So the question is, what signal are you going to send? And you're going to send a single signal no matter what. Even if they can't find anything about you, you just send a signal because they can't find anything about you. So you have a reputation whether you like it or not. It's kind of like choosing which clothes to wear. You can't get around it. You're going to wear whatever clothes you wear. Even if you wear no clothes, you're going to send a signal. So what is that reputation you're going to craft? So that's like the bigger picture here about building this digital footprint. And then kind of under that umbrella is this intention to learn out loud and to show the process of, maybe that's that Facebook ads you're learning, or you're starting to build that side hustle and you keep failing at this and this, or you're learning and this works, this doesn't work. How can you showcase that through live, hey, here's what's going on right now, right? Or like what I've done is when I'm taking courses on Skillshare, and I'll just take screenshots of okay, I'm on this part of the course, and we're learning this particular thing about Google Analytics, and here's what I'm learning about, and here's what I don't understand yet, you know, and just like writing a blog post about what you don't know yet, perhaps. And that's also going to signal the learning out loud process. So, and the growth mindset. So what other thoughts do you have on that?
Yeah. So I think people coming to it for the first time, this idea of like, okay, I'm creating content and sharing things. The assumption so many of us have is that we need to be experts to have a valid voice in any conversation. So like, I'm writing a blog post, I need to have some type of unique thoughts on it, or like I'm writing a post about SEO, like I need to come across as an expert in SEO. One, that's great if you can do that, write about something you're passionate about and have a ton of expertise on. But most often the types of content we connect with has that dimension of like someone who's a work in progress. And so we kind of talk about going through the Praxis program with a lot of the digital paper trail you're building is documentation. So types of posts, like you mentioned, where you're learning something and writing about what you're learning, creating videos about what you're learning. And so an example I'd like to give in terms of like how to think about documentation is, I don't know if anyone's seen the movie Grizzly Man. Guy moves up north. He's trying to live with grizzly bears. And so there's like, that's the project, right? Like, hey, I'm moving up north. I'm living with grizzly bears. But no one would know about it if he wasn't documenting it. So he's using cameras, documenting the process, and tragically, unfortunately, as you might expect, trying to live with grizzly bears. But that is, you know, the reason we know this story is because of the effort that went into documentation of the project. And so this feels for some reason like very unnatural, like, hey, I'm writing a blog post. I'm going to just kind of document like, hey, I went on Shopify and like took some screenshots of how I set up my store. And then I did this and then I did this. But one, it's fairly straightforward to do that type of content creation, especially if you're using tools like Loom videos that you can embed in your blog post later. But like I mentioned a tiny bit before, learning is really like a super skill. So most people hiring want to know that you have the ability to learn new things and do that in an organized and independent fashion where I'm not going to have to invest a ton of time in training you. And so if you can show me, hey, here's a month where you've documented in a kind of a dynamic way how you went about learning different ad platforms, and you're doing that in a way that's also teaching me a bit about it. One, it proves to me like, hey, you know how to do this. But more importantly, I can tell you like, okay, we want you to go focus on TikTok ads for a month. And I can feel confident because you've already documented and told me what your learning process is like. So yeah, one, I think the thought is like, it feels kind of unnatural, which I get because I've experienced that myself. But it should feel like the most natural thing in the world. You don't need to be an expert to create content about things. Like, it's really valuable to create content as you learn. And two, you know, the simple way of doing this is using things like Loom to record screen shares, taking screenshots, and just writing like, hey, what was your process? What did you like about it? What did you think going in? What did you think coming out? What's your next step? And go from there. And so we use typically like a landing page structure for bigger projects at Praxis, where we have someone like, hey, at the end of the month, you want to have a page that's going to document your week by week process, why you cared about this project, what you learned along the way, as well as links out to other posts that you made. So you're kind of creating one, basically like a one pager for your project so that someone could read that, but also can expand into other areas.
Yeah, there's so much value to be able to document that process, and you don't need to be an expert. And actually it's better perhaps to show that you're not an expert, because again, you're showcasing your ability to learn,
as you said. And yeah, it's not just, okay, you're learning about SEO and you're doing a project. It's not just signaling that you've learned about SEO. It's signaling that you're willing to go learn anything. You're willing to learn TikTok ads, like you said. So there's all this, and I don't even know if people, you know, companies are necessarily fully conscious of how many signals that you're sending them all at once, but they just get that impression, right? oh, this person's taking initiative. This person's leaning forward, making it happen. So I dropped in the chat, everybody, one of the best posts on both the Career Hackers and I believe it's still on the Praxis blog, originally from the Praxis blog, 100 Ways to Work Out Loud from Chuck Remit. And Chuck Remit is a former team member at Praxis who really just an absolute machine and the best of the best when it comes to documenting his process, whether that's writing book reviews or showcasing himself building a canoe or his cooking recipes. And so he has all these different ways to just showcase and build that digital footprint. And, you know, it might even feel like if there's 100 ways, you might feel a little overwhelmed. You might feel like, oh, there's so many things I can do. And then, again, we got to watch out for perfectionism. I mean, to watch out for analysis paralysis and just pick a couple of these, you know, write some reviews on Amazon, answer questions on Quora, build a little website about what you're learning, you know, go give a talk at a meetup event, create an FAQ guide. So there's all these potential ways to start, and it doesn't need to be perfect. You know, ideally you can create that like full landing page, like you said, of like week one, and this is what I learned, week two, week three, week four. And then you create that Loom video and you're documenting, here's how you use this particular tool. And the more thorough and robust, obviously, the more value you can showcase. At the same time, you don't want to let perfection be the enemy of good. So that's where you can just get in, if you get in that bias for shipping and just getting started. And even if you all you do is write one little blog post with one little screenshot, that's way better than nothing. Right. So I really encourage people to get started. What advice do you have on just like that initial sort of puncturing of that, you know, what Stephen Pressfield calls resistance and like that hesitation to actually just start becoming creative, especially if we haven't been in that mindset. We've been more in that, you know, traditional school mindset of just doing what you're asked to do and creating on your own with your own curiosity, creativity, initiative, can feel, you can have that apprehension potentially. So what tips, especially like maybe working with young people who are just getting started, how do you help guide people to break in to the creative mindset?
Yeah, I think there's kind of just an element of taking the jump, which is why the blog challenge can be really good. Having some type of challenge for yourself. So I know you definitely know the book, Share Your Work by Austin Kleon, which I think is a great one to kind of show your work, not share your work.
Show your work.
Great one to kind of, again, reframe your mindset, get out of this like, oh, it's douchey to talk about the things I'm doing, towards like, oh no, it's, you know, valuable, interesting for other people. But also something I've done for myself, because this doesn't really come naturally to me. I'm more of that, like, I want to like build a skill in silence and come out and I've like mastered it without anyone knowing about it type at my core. But giving myself a challenge of like, hey, I can't remember if I did it for 90 days or whatever it was, but like, sure, it worked every single day, whether it's like a Facebook post, a Twitter post, a blog post, the podcast episode counts, like anything I'm doing that's sharing to the world counts. But having some type of challenge for yourself. But I think, yeah, finding a medium that you're most comfortable in. Like, I know for me, having the podcast has been a great one because it's easy. I sit down with my wife and we're interviewing people and talking about all sorts of different things. A lot of it travel related, but a lot of other stuff comes into that. Having one thing and not getting caught in this idea of it needs to be perfect. And I think as far as like making that first jump, like a 30-day blog challenge is really awesome, because at some point in those 30 days, you're going to be so stuck on, what do I write about? And you're like, you know what? I'm just going to write about this thing I did today, because it's going to be easy to just document something I did.
Or write about the fact that you don't know what to write about.
That's always a go-to post. That's where I'm like, okay, I need to come up with a different idea, because I've gone to that well too many times.
Right, right. And by the way, the value of the 30-day challenge, and you could, by the way, make it a 14-day challenge. You make a 7-day challenge. Do what works for you. But the value of the choosing the days, the number of days, is you create this frame. So then you're not as invested or attached to, oh, now I need to become a blogger for the rest of eternity. And then it seems like, no, I'm not, I don't have time to commit to that. you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, because 30 days is short enough where you can see, all right, well, I know this is hard, but I can do this for 30 days. And then you have that perspective, and then it gives you that frame that allows you to build that portfolio. So in the last few minutes here, I wanted to talk about the idea of creating that full sort of, what you guys are doing at Praxis is helping people build that ultimate talent profile. So I'm going to put my colleague Warris on the spot and I'm putting his talent profile in the chat. And he's an alum of Praxis as well. And this is a great way. And we've talked about job hunting and sending video pitches to land jobs, but there's also just the approach of creating a general profile where you might still have a video on there that's introducing yourself. Then you're also showcasing the totality of your top digital footprints of digital projects. And this gives this really demonstrative method to prove your ability to create value. So yeah, I mean, feel free to I'd love to hear your thoughts on the value of this, and you know, any commentary you have on Warris's in particular. We have obviously the video, we have some text telling more about himself. We have projects, we have a tech stack showcasing those Loom videos of using MailChimp. And so yeah, I would love to just volley back to you, Ryan, with any thoughts and any, you know, also any stories about how, you know, business partners in the Praxis Network have been impressed by this profile.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing is, if anyone just clicks on this link and pulls it up, and so picture in your mind what maybe your resume looks like, or just anyone's resume. And now picture and now just take a look at this, and you're going to be immediately a lot more interested in Warris's talent profile than in any type of resume that lists I did, you know, this education program for X years. The first thing is just, it's different, right? It's interesting. If I'm going through a stack of resumes, and then I get to, or you know, the digital version, I'm going through a stack of LinkedIn profiles, and then I get here and I can actually watch your video and learn a little bit about Warris and his personality and see the energy that he has. He's introducing himself, and then he's also just linking out so I can see a whole bunch of different work that he has. The whole process where in the past we used credentials as kind of this middle ground, because we couldn't really actually see the work you've done. And so, I know you worked at X company, which kind of gives me an approximation of the type of work you might be able to do for my company. But if you actually go out and create work online, I can actually see it. So one, I can get to know you via video. I can check on your projects, learn about your verbal written communication skills, learn about the actual tech tools you know how to use, and not just rely on, hey, you say you know how to use MailChimp. I can click on the watch me prove it here, where there's a video breakdown of him using MailChimp. So it's so much more holistic, so much more fully fleshed out, so much more attention grabbing. And kind of the process going through the job hunt is, first you need to make it through those initial filters. So, you know, Career Hackers does an amazing job of talking about this, emailing people directly, having a pitch for someone specifically, not just putting your resume into a pile that's going to get filtered out. You want to avoid that as much as possible. But making what you're doing stand out. So there's really cool examples of people applying for restaurants and they make their resume look like a menu, or people applying to work at different companies and kind of creating mock versions of that company's website that tells you all about who that person is. Two, showing the things you know how to do. And there's these baseline skills you need. So verbal written communication, you're not going to find a job where having kind of high levels of verbal and written communication doesn't matter. Your ability to learn, that kind of multidimensional, this just seems like someone interesting and fun to work with. And then the actual particular skills that you need for the job. The reason I might be interested in hiring someone who has a computer science degree is because I have an idea of what someone who has a computer science degree might be able to do in terms of the technical things they can build. If you send me a link to hey, here's this thing I built and programmed, immediately not going to care about what degree you have because I can see that you've done it. And that applies for marketing, for sales, for operations, for creative roles, everything. That's where the idea for this comes from, showing people the actual work you've done. And so we've had tons of examples where, you know, sending these and business partners are going through and watching the different profiles and just saying like, this is so much more enjoyable and interesting. And I feel like I know all these people so much better than I do just going through the normal application process. And kind of the reverse where people have gone like, hey, we've been hiring practice participants. And then I go back to the normal job hunt. I put a position out there somewhere and I get like 150 applications. Many of them are like copy paste, applying for the wrong company, don't seem to know what my company is. So that was a bit of a ramble, but I think the key things here are making yourself stand out and realizing how easy it is to set yourself apart from the crowd. Like, it really doesn't take much work to show that you're more enthusiastic about a company, that you know more about the specific type of role and company you're trying to get a job at, and just do that basic legwork to show it on something like a talent profile, create your own Notion site, whatever it might be, but doing something that makes you stand out, I think is, you know, definitely the way to go.
Yeah. And the bar is low, ladies and gentlemen, the bar is low. Well, in the last 2 minutes here, I just want to give you the chance, Ryan, to share anything more about Praxis, as well as, you know, your own brand, your own podcast, and where people can find you.
Yeah. So if anyone is in the early stages of their career, might've heard about Praxis from one of the other speakers. I know Hannah Frankman was here and she's a Praxis, not a participant alum, but a staff member alum. But yeah, anyone who's in the early stages of their career, we help people launch their careers with a year-long program. The first 6 months are around kind of skill building, learning how to be targeting the types of roles you want. And the back 6 months, you're actually on the job working. So you're, by the end of it, you're graduating from Praxis with more money in your bank account than when you went in. Anyone who's interested in Praxis, it's discoverpraxis.com. Anyone who's interested in kind of like digital nomad stuff and travel, talk a lot about that on our podcast, which is The World Wanderers. And so you can find that on every app, but also theworldwanderers.com.
Right on. And by the way, Praxis is typically for people younger, maybe that like 18 to 23 type range, but it's not impossible, right? If you're later on in life to also join the program.
100%. Yeah. Many of kind of when we look and see like, hey, a most successful alumni are older 20s into their 30s. Obviously there's no age requirement, any age you can apply for Praxis. In those later stages, typically what's important is like, you've kind of got a clear vision of what you're trying to do. So maybe we've had lots of examples of people who maybe you're in more of like a blue collar track, like, hey, I've been building houses. It's going well. I need to do something different. I'm making the move to marketing or something more entrepreneurial. But yeah, all ages and stages are more than welcome to check it out and see if it could be a fit for you.
Rock on. Well, thanks so much again, Ryan, for your time and your knowledge. And I hope everyone listening takes some value from this and starts just making one little step today to start building your digital footprint. Maybe you just write a little blog post today about what you learned at this event, and that's how you get the momentum started. So thanks again, Ryan. And thanks everybody for being here. And we will see you at the next session. We have Carrie Twigg and we have Kate Smith coming up.
Thanks, Joel.